Hey, everybody, welcome in. My name is Barbara, and my guest today is Sandpoint Mayor Jeremy Grimm. He was here last week, and so he's here again today. It's round two. I don't know if I want to say it that way, Jeremy. It sounds like we're boxing.
Yeah, no, there'll be many rounds. So exactly. Anytime I can come to help provide accurate information, it's my pleasure.
Amen, and you are welcome here. Our topics today include Sandpoint infrastructure, concerns, and solutions. We're going to be looking at Sandpoint wastewater treatment and domestic water provision, and in a somewhat related area, the City Council's decision, at least somewhat related in my head, to the reduction of the Sandpoint area of impact process that is going on. So we've got all that more just for you. Stay with us. There's a lot to learn and understand. Let's take a break right now, and we'll be back right after this.
Sugar Tooth on the Cedar Street Bridge is your one-stop shop for all your sweet needs. Find local chocolates made on-site using ethically sourced cocoa, international candy, drinks, and snacks from more than 10 countries. Sugar Tooth's homemade bestsellers, caramel apple, truffles, Bigfoot bars, and of course the classic pecan turtle. Sugar Tooth has also a variety of vegetarian and vegan-friendly options. Stop by Sugar Tooth's sweet shop on the Cedar Street Bridge. Open 7 days a week.
Hey, come on, let's go outside. Don Thomas here for Sandpoint Furniture, inviting you all to a great new way to indulge yourself at home. Sandpoint Furniture has brought in a new higher-end outdoor line of furniture called Bitterroot Outdoor, made by the Amish in St. Ignatius, Montana, and they're always known for their craftsmanship. Each piece of Bitterroot Outdoors is thoughtfully designed and built with a poly-tough material with a 20-year warranty that will stand up to all of our weather elements, rain, snow, and bright sunny days, without the hassle of covering or maintenance. With several collections and color combinations to choose from, you'll be sure to find the perfect complement to your outdoor space. So the people at Sandpoint Furniture and the folks at Bitterroot Outdoor encourage you to get out with friends and family and enjoy dinner on the patio, drinks around the fire pit, or just relaxing on your deck year-round in comfort and in style. That's Sandpoint Furniture across from the Bonner Mall in Ponderay, still making your house a home for almost 80 years.
Millions of Americans take medicine like Ozempic and Zepbound. Many of them are overpaying by thousands of dollars a year. These GLP-1 medications for diabetes, weight loss, and more may not always be covered by your insurance, but GoodRx can help. GoodRx helps you save every month on prescriptions at over 70,000 pharmacies nationwide. Best of all, it's free to use. Check GoodRx to save on GLP-1s. Just go to GoodRx.com/GLP. That's GoodRx.com/GLP. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance, including Medicare and other federal and state-funded programs.
Lanny went to college and racked up huge debt.
A little bit over $100,000.
For a degree he couldn't use? Now what?
I had a friend that went to my computer career.
They even helped him get hired immediately after graduation.
One of the things I love about IT is that you can work from anywhere you want.
You could become an IT pro in just months, including cybersecurity and the basics of AI, with zero experience at mycomputercareer.edu.
It worked for me, and I know it can work for you.
This is one student's experience. Individual results vary.
There are low prices, and then there are Kohl's lowest prices of the season. I got myself a comfy tee for just $4.99 and a stylish dress for 50% off. Then I found my husband a pair of shorts for under $17. Plus, I earned Kohl's cash. Yup, it doesn't get better than Kohl's lowest prices of the season. So go check them out before it's too late. Select styles, some exclusions apply. Offers end May 18th. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
News Talk 97.1 KSBT KBFI.
Everybody, welcome in. It's always fun to have you along for the ride with us, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Drive safe out there, and thank you again for being with us. Join me as I say hello and welcome to Sandpoint Mayor Jeremy Grimm. Thanks again, as always, for being with us.
Anytime.
I want to just jump right in on Sandpoint wastewater treatment. There have been permit violations, 5 in 23 and 4 in 2024. What's up with that?
And more in 2025,
and
unfortunately.
More, yeah.
That we're just dealing with a compliance letter right now that will be going to the council next week. So yeah, our wastewater plant, if you're unaware, it is a very old plant. It originally came from Farragut Military Base. We borrowed and were donated some of the equipment. It's been sort of piecemealed back and forth for the last 45, 55 years. And it is a plant that has reached its the end of its useful life. Not only has the technology changed, but the growth that we've seen has put some pressures on it. So the status of the plant right now is that we have just completed something called a preliminary engineering report for a replacement of the wastewater plant. That will replacement will occur at the same location of the current plant, so that makes it a little more difficult. It's akin to flying a plane and putting on new wings because while you're in the air, because the plant has to operate in its location as we replace it. So it's from an engineering side, it's a little complex, but I certainly didn't want to go through the public process of siting a new plant. It's going to be someone's neighbor, and also the cost to replace it in its current location is the best. So we've completed the preliminary engineering report, and we have submitted what is called a LOI, or letter of intent, to the state for funding and approval of the plant replacement. And we ranked somewhere about, it looks like we're third in the state for priority for replacement. The preliminary engineering report has a price tag of approximately $130 million. And yes, you heard me correctly, that's 130, which is a massive amount of money, probably the largest public works project in Bonner County history other than the byway. And it will replace the plant and set us up for the next 30 years of treatment out there. So
let me ask a couple of questions. $130 million, and we're ranked third. So when is the best estimate that this will all start?
Well, it is difficult at the very best to navigate this. Keep in mind, Sandpoint residents pay a very high sewer rate right now, almost $100 a month for residential sewer service. One of the reasons those rates are so high is the previous administration did in part a three-part rate increase so that we will have sufficient revenue to actually borrow that money to build the plant. The problem is our revenue projections and what our rates can support will only allow us to borrow about $60 million. So we have a huge gap between the projected cost and what we can afford. Traditionally, cities throughout the country have gone to their state Department of Environmental Quality, to the feds, sometimes back in the day, and even currently earmarking from the Senate or Congress in the federal budget to help provide a grant for these infrastructure upgrades. As most people are aware, the federal budget is looking to shrink right now, and there's simply no money out there for infrastructure projects. If this had been 5 years ago, Build America Back and the COVID, hundreds of millions of dollars came into the state of Idaho for these kinds of projects. Unfortunately, the timing is very poor, and we are struggling right now to find any funding. So being ranked third in the state for priority means that the state doesn't have enough money to help us, not with the whole project, just that gap between the $60 million that we can bond for and the projected $130 million cost.
So you're saying the state cannot help with any of the remaining gap of $70 million?
What we've been told through some informal conversations is they have about $30 million, and their challenge is that for $30 million, they could complete a project in another city, whereas $30 million added to our project still doesn't get us all the way to where we need to be to replace the plant. So we are now revising our preliminary engineering report. Instead of a complete replacement, we're looking at a piecemeal or incremental replacement, maybe the headworks and screening first, maybe the filtration, maybe the disinfection. But we have broken it down now to something that we will be able to afford. And what this means for Sandpoint residents is this fall we will be going out for a voter bond approval to borrow approximately $60 million. And we are scrambling with the Senate and congressional delegation and the state DEQ and the governor's office trying to get any funding we can to match what we can borrow for this.
So a $60 million bond on the November election coming up.
Correct.
And only Sandpoint City residents will be able to vote?
Correct, because we only serve sewer in Sandpoint, okay. And it's a separate utility, effectively.
So these areas of impact are Kootenai and Pend'oreille, which I'm going to get to because of the water deals. They are not involved in this. They don't use our wastewater treatment plant at all.
That's right. A couple of years ago, there was a thought that we could combine with the Kootenai-Pend'oreille Sewer District. We could maybe even take on Schweitzer Sewer and maybe Sagal Sewer, and we could all collaborate and just build one big plant. Trying to get three or four different entities and boards together to figure all that out, in my opinion, would have just led to delay. We are at a situation in our wastewater plant with our most recent violation in February where this thing basically is a ticking time bomb. Our operators are down there. They don't just run the plant. Most of their time is spent fixing the plant. So right. On any given day, like in February, we had a 1970s era pump that went out. It led to an overflow, and there was literally sewage coming up in the whole basin into the actual administrative offices, and luckily very little of it made it to the river.
That's what I was reading. A lot of it was in the parking lot.
Parking lot and actually in the office.
Building.
In the building. I mean, imagine going to work and having turds floating in your office floor. It's horrible.
At least not real ones.
Hats off to the operators. Devin Hall and his team do an incredible job. They're under so much stress every day. I mean, one point, they had a hose pipe break. They had to go to North 40 and get an RV hose to, transition between the broken pipe. I mean, it is, it's a plant that is, it's sad. I've traveled internationally, and I've seen in second and third world countries wastewater plants that are more modern than ours.
Yeah. I'm hearing a lot of my listeners right now urging me to say, well, what are the developers doing? It's always, for a lot of your constituents, they want these developers that are building all these homes and hotels and condos and units. Not only are they not providing parking, which we've talked about, and I think that's an okay thing, let's all walk. However, how are they contributing to these funds?
They are. They're not just contributing to the sewer, but they're also contributing through something called development impact fees, which go to help our police, our fire, our roads, and our parks.
And those fees are high enough, in your opinion?
We're redoing them right now. It's one of the issues I ran on, is the city hadn't updated that in 10 years. And we are currently about to unveil the new development impact fees, which I would imagine will be rising. But you have to separate development impact fees, which go to just those categories I mentioned, the roads, the fire, the police, the parks, and the pathways, from the sewer fees. Now, think of the sewer. The city's really got three different components. It's got the city, which is development, but then the council is also the board of two utilities, a water utility and a sewer utility. And when we gather as the city council, we're actually acting as a board of those utilities.
Okay.
And those utilities stand alone. So the sewer utility is a standalone fund, a standalone fees, standalone revenue that's paid by only people who use the sewer. And when a new development comes in, or a new house or new commercial area, they pay something called new user facility fees. And basically, that is a very high number. I'm not sure exactly what it is. It varies based on the use. But let's say $10,000, for example. And they pay that into the utility fund, a new user facility fee. And it's basically they're repaying the ratepayers for the capacity that we've built for them. You build something new in Sandpoint, you have to wait for us to add a little bit to the sewer plant. We have capacity there, And these people pay us basically ratepayers back when they hook up. So they are paying their share.
You know, this is probably going to reveal what I don't know about how these fees work, but I would like developers to only pay that a capacity fee. But until that unit that they have constructed is built, I want them paying that $100 a month into the sewer fund, because it doesn't do me any good as a Sandpoint citizen to have an empty apartment over here. I know it's not being used, but I want them, maybe they could bring down rates, they could bring down whatever, because it'll be to their benefit to get that occupied.
Right, right. And that's an interesting thought. There are some legal challenges to that. You charge for the actual usage. So if you're not using it, you can't charge that monthly rate. But the capacity fee they do pay at the time of building permit, and they basically make the ratepayers whole. Now, a utility should be using those funds to repair and upsize and replace degraded components. And we do have a nice nest egg, many millions of dollars sitting from those NUF fees, new user facility fees. But that's just a fraction of what it's going to take to build
really
this plant.
Needed. All right. Well, it just seems to me that even though it's a lot of money, it's just time to do this in the best way that we can. If it needs to be bite by bite, so to speak, and use the money that we can get, maybe some federal money will come loose. I know Hope went through its whole sewer thing, treatment plant out on the peninsula for Hope and East Hope in a part of the peninsula, maybe in 1980 to 1985. And because we were a poor community, we just got tons of money from the federal government.
Well, it was pretty standard back in the 70s. The model was the government will provide the water and sewer, and then people hook into it and
pay then for the ongoing.
Right, right. And I mean, these are very expensive facilities. And the downside to doing it piecemeal or bite by bite is that, of course, if you're familiar with construction, you have to mobilize. You know, they have to come with their construction trailers and bring the teams into town. So there is some cost efficiency if you can just do it all in one slug.
Of course.
So those are some of the challenges the city council and our public work staff and our engineers are working on right now.
That sounds great. Okay, so wastewater treatment is actually underway.
It is.
And
the study.
I'll have you back well in advance of that bond issue to explain all this again, because I know people get upset with me because I'm like, yeah, I'm already going to vote yes. But I mean, change my mind. So let's move away from wastewater treatment, if we can, and move on to water. The water system that gives us our domestic use water here in Sandpoint. We're about ready for a break, so give us kind of the overview first.
Sure. So water is another utility, so a standalone, think of it as a standalone business of the city. We don't intermingle funds. The water in Sandpoint was originally in Sandpoint only, and then over time, our neighbors and adjacent property owners asked for us to extend water outside the city limits. Presently, the city of Sandpoint serves Siringo Water District to our west. They are a wholesale customer. They have a big meter, and we sell them water in bulk, and then they sell it and to all their residents out there, and they charge them a monthly fee. They take care of their lines. When there's a water break, they fix it. We also serve Northside, which is north of the fairgrounds, basically. They are also a wholesale customer. They do all that same elements. And then we serve Ponderé, Kootenay, and some of Ponder Point, and then areas in Bonner County. So over time, the city has unfortunately decided that we're going to start serving water all over. Not ideal, because we don't control the land use in Bonner County or in Ponderé. So when we go to put in a 6-inch line, the land use could change. And all of a sudden, it goes from low density to commercial or high density.
And we would be responsible to replace all that?
Well,
Sandpoint?
the utility, right?
Incredulously.
Yes, the utility now has to face the question when Ponderé or someone else asks for water, well, now you need an 8-inch line. Well, we only have a 6-inch line. So we don't have fire flows. And this comes down to fire flows. And what's really front and center in my mind is what happened in California this fall and winter. You had deficient fire flows. And I never want to see a firestorm come through and come from the north like it did in 1910. If you know your history, it burnt from Bonner's Ferry to Kellogg in 3 days. And I don't want to be responsible or contribute to more people living in an area where we don't have sufficient fire flow. So every time someone comes and asks for new water out in Ponderay or Kootenai or Ponder Point, we do a model and say, can we draw enough water through those pipes at the pipe size to put out a fire? And what we're seeing right now is there are many areas out there that have deficient fire flows, meaning if the fire truck comes out there during a big fire, they can't pull enough water because the development has occurred at a higher density or different type of use than we can actually contend with.
So hold that thought. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we have a lot more to talk about and a lot more to learn about the domestic water. Is that the right way I can
potable
say
water,
that?
Domestic
potable
water,
yeah. Water here for the Sandpoint Water District. Stay with us.
For almost 100 years, Adams Tractor has been your trusted partner, helping farmers, homeowners, and businesses thrive with the best equipment, service, parts, and support. Whether you're plowing fields or tackling a weekend project, we bring the power of the number one selling Kubota tractors right to your doorstep. Adams Tractor, a name you can trust, built on 95 years of experience, dedication, and a passion for our community. Get your Kubota at one of our 5 locations today or visit us online at adamstractor.com.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of the current offers on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eye on a new Can-Am ATV or side-by-side, now's the time to get yours. Visit your local Can-Am dealer today and add a true game changer to your roster. Conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Are you feeling down? Let's talk about it. We get it. Life can be tough. When you're feeling depressed or anxious, just getting through the day can seem like an endless uphill struggle. Coping with emotional problems is hard enough without the added worry of getting the right kind of help. If you're experiencing mental or emotional challenges, a group class at Kinnick-Sue Community Health can be one of the most beneficial methods in fostering a better recovery. Learn more at kchni.org.
Hi, this is Brian Ivey, service manager at Pierce Auto Center in beautiful Sagal, Idaho. We've expanded our team and can now offer same-day appointments for most of our maintenance items, including oil changes, fuel filters, tire rotation. Conventional oil changes start at $39.95, synthetic oil changes start at $79.95, and diesel oil changes starting at $99.95. This month, we are also offering AC system recharges for $149 plus Freon. Call today to schedule an appointment. Pierce Auto Center.
Industry-leading products, outstanding service, and customized comfort. That's AGE Heating and Cooling. AGE is a premier Lennox dealer, meaning specialty equipment training and high customer satisfaction, earning and maintaining a 4-plus star rating among customers. Lennox Equipment ensures your home comfort needs are met. Now offering electrical services. AGEHeatingandCooling.com. Experience the premier dealer difference today. Idaho HVAC Contractors, license number 059041.
At Straight Talk, we are all about no-brainers. Calling grandma for her recipe, no-brainer. Streaming one more episode at 2 a.m., big no-brainer. Getting real unlimited data where you buy bananas, the ultimate no-brainer. Switch now and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2024 with select plans. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 5/19/25. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store single line activation on qualifying plan. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com/terms. Copyright 2025 Verizon.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. We have got a great conversation going on with Mayor, Sandpoint Mayor Jeremy Grimm. We've been talking about wastewater treatment, what's going on there. You know, all of these programs, all of the Noon Hour programs for all of your hosts here at Blue Sky Broadcasting are recorded and available to you really at this point forever, it looks like. No matter what we say, it's still going to be there at our website, NorthIdahoRadio.com. It's easy to negotiate live Noon Hour programming. You can find it. You can find this program. If you missed wastewater, we're up to potable and drinking water now with Mayor Grimm. And tell our audience again that, I mean, this is, happened, 50 years ago or 40 years ago, where Sandpoint started entering into providing water for surrounding communities. And what's your biggest headache as you look at that as mayor? Why is that a problem?
Right. So it's been an incremental, piecemeal approach. Somebody will ask for water. The city council determines if they're going to extend a water line and serve new areas. It's problematic because we don't control the land use in Ponderay or in the county. And if you think about it, the land use is really what drives the type and the capacity of water you need, especially to fight fires. So if it's low density residential on one house per acre, that needs one size water line. If it's a Home Depot or commercial or high density multifamily, that needs totally different water flows. So we go and extend a line and make some assumptions, and then things change over time. And now the line needs to be upgraded. So that's the situation we're in today in Ponderay and Kootenai and Ponder Point.
A quick question. Who paid for the original line to go out to them? Did that user who was asking to be included in this system, did they have to pay for that?
Typically, it's called develop to and through the property. So when a developer subdivides a property, they're going to extend that line at their cost to and through the property so the next person can connect and do the same.
Okay.
But the problem comes in when you have undersized pipes. Then it's now the utilities problem to address fire flows
to
and
do the
capacity.
And so go ahead.
And this is where it becomes problematic. So we have pipes that are too small, fire flow that's deficient in Ponderay and Kootenai and Ponder Point, and the utility would need to come up with a funding mechanism
that's
to upsize
us.
That's us. So to pay for that, because the utility doesn't have millions of dollars sitting in the bank, we would have to go out for a bond. Now, if think about this, the city residents would have to go out for a bond to approve debt to fix and upgrade the water lines in Ponderay or in the county.
I'm not liking that solution.
I don't think it's probably going to pass.
I don't think it'll pass. So, what do you see as a viable solution?
Well, the solution, I think, is for the city of Ponderay and those areas to become wholesalers. I mentioned Syringa's a wholesaler. Northside's a wholesaler. Presently, Ponderay, Kootenai, and Ponder Point, it's Sandpoint water utility employees who go fix those breaks, install the meters, read the meters. We're effectively operating as the water providers in that area. The solution is decoupling, where we put in a master meter at the Ponderay city limits, and then Ponderay has distribution employees, billing employees, repair employees, and because they control the land use, they can determine what size pipes need to be put in, and they put that burden on their developers.
So they do all the maintenance, the upkeep, yep. And they make the decisions for what they want to do and how they want to grow.
Exactly.
If they want bigger pipes to ensure. I really like what I'm learning about fire flows.
It's
how
critical.
Important it is. It's the most crucial thing.
It is. And something a lot of people don't realize is just because we give water to a development, it's the fire district and the city that ultimately give the occupancy permits for those buildings. So if somebody wants to build something out of cinder blocks, you don't need a whole lot of fire flow maybe. If somebody wants to build something high density, multifamily, or commercial, well, you need a lot more fire flow. And the point is, Sandpoint doesn't have any control over that. We just say, okay, you need a water line. We'll give you water.
So how do we recouple We Sandpoint? How does that actually happen? What's the legal process?
Oh, this is fascinating, and it's happening right now. Right now, the city of Sandpoint's hired a water district specialist law firm who's looking at all the laws to determine how do we go about decoupling from unfortunate decision to extend water outside of city limits. So once we get that legal analysis back, we will work with our neighbors and, you know, community members about how does this work. So that's the first step, is understanding what are the legal parameters around decoupling. But the future state I see is a big master meter. Sandpoint has a relatively new water treatment plant. We have plenty of water rights. We can make a lot of water. It's actually good to sell water. That's how the utility makes money. So happy to sell water, but I'm just not happy to have to sell water into a landscape where the city of Sandpoint has no control.
Know anything. How long does the decoupling, I mean, is it going to be done like each one, just do it simultaneously?
You know, you don't know what you don't know, right? These wastewater and water are my two highest priority. When I ran for mayor, the can's been kicked down the road for way too long, and I am going to bring us to a point where we have clarity and a stable future. So I'm guessing it's going to be a year and a half or 2 year process. I've got 2.5 years
for
left in my term.
All of them to be decoupled.
Yes.
Name the ones again that are in the, so, that you're looking at for decoupling.
Decoupling, I'm looking at basically everywhere the water is served that's not Syringa or Northside. So that would be basically if you live in Ponderay, Kootenai, or portions of Bonner County. Right now we serve all those areas. And I don't know if it's going to be a new water district that'll be formed with a board from those areas that will make those decisions and just buy wholesale water from Sandpoint, or if Ponderay wants to get into the business of being a water service provider.
Being their own separate service. So did you say 1.5 to 2 years? I'm sorry, I didn't.
I would guess that long, because this is highly legalistic and fairly complex work that needs
is
to be
done.
Is
this a vote that the city of Sandpoint would ever? No, this is something that is delegated to you and the city council to research and determine that this is the right way to go.
Right. What we found so far is there's no legal agreement that requires us to serve outside the city limits. We've never signed our life away. We've just been doing it incrementally, you know, friendly, somebody ask, and we do it. So it will be a decision of the city council unless they, for some reason, wanted to put it to a vote of the public.
You know, clearly growth, liability have changed in the last, let's just say 50 years, 40 years. And so these kinds of gentleman agreements, and yes, we can do that, was one thing. Now it doesn't even make sense. I'm listening to this and I'm like, I guess I can understand how they did that 30 years ago or whatever it was, but or 10 years ago. Yeah. But now it doesn't make sense to me at all.
Well, and you add, I mean, that those fires down in L.A. and Malibu,
yes.
you add that tension to it. I saw some videos, you know, the fire trucks pulled up to the fire hydrants and there just wasn't the pressure. And that's the one thing I'm very firm on, is I don't want to be in front of the news or the video or wherever trying to answer questions about why did you let housing go and continue
in
to
Ponderay.
Be built in an area that doesn't have fire flow. So
right.
If you own property out there, stay attuned. We're currently still hooking people up. This is important. There's no moratorium yet. We are hooking people up who are in established subdivisions, but new subdivisions, we're running a water model. And we're looking at those fire flows, and those are the decisions that may affect speculators or people who have plans for subdividing.
I would think any of our listeners out there that are in these fire where they're receiving water through this kind of an arrangement, that they would want to start attending and understanding what this means for them, what their impact is going to be, and how to begin to righteously and diligently shouldering their burden for fire, for water provision.
Yes, and you know, what's Ponderay's slogan? The the little city with a big future. You know, at some point, with all due respect to the mayor and council and residents of Ponderay, the city of Sandpoint is operating as your water utility. And I don't know, if maybe it makes more sense for the cities to combine. You know, that's always talked about, but you lose, you know, access to your...
That's $100 a month per user that is not coming in. Is that correct?
Well, it still comes into the utility.
Okay.
But
it's the maintenance and the ongoing, and the fire flows keep going fire back flows to what
and
is
the approval.
Being put in and the approval for all that.
Yeah. Every single new water hookup, new water meter runs through the city of Sandpoint. Even though it's not in Sandpoint.
Yeah. Plus our staff, Sandpoint staff, to read the meters and to do the maintenance.
Now that all gets paid for out of the utility.
Right.
So it keeps Sandpoint taxpayers whole.
That's why you started with fire flows, because I mean, this is all important and they need to, you know, kind of become independent or decoupled as the word is, but it's because of the fire flow to make sure they have the amount of water they need.
Well, and it's fire flow and it's also the development out there. I mean, why should Sandpoint tell Ponderay how they're going to grow?
Exactly.
You know, if you want to build a new commercial Miracle Mile up 95 north of North 40 in Ruby, that's your decision as a community. But you know, you're going to have to make sure there's infrastructure to do that.
Exactly.
So that's the biggest challenge, is that there's just, you know, no ability to regulate the land use in Ponderay because it's its own entity.
Well, just so our listeners heard it, because I agree that when Jeremy Grimm ran for mayor, I remember him saying his top two were wastewater and potable water for Sandpoint and all the ramifications of that. I clearly didn't understand what all was going on with that. So I thank you for this update, and thank you for you and the council are doing. We're up against another break. It's our last break. We're going to take it right now.
Hey, Don Thomas here for Selkirk Glass and Cabinets, Carpet One, and Sandpoint Furniture, also known as the Ponderay Design Center. And that's what I want to talk about today, who and what we are, and all that we can provide in the way of making your house a home, just like the radio jingle. Well, it's never been more true than today. I think the best way to explain all that is by example. So let's say you're a building contractor in the beginning stages of a new home or a full-scope remodel. You've got a time frame and a budget to keep in check. You've used us before, so you're confident you can send your clients to our design center. And they'll see lots of product and make lots of decisions. Maybe they'll start at the Carpet One showroom and pick out bathroom, kitchen, and floor tile, carpet, wood flooring, and even area rugs. Then they'll come on over next door to our Selkirk Glass and Cabinet showroom. They'll see offerings shown in doors, windows, cabinets, shower glass, and more. And now, they've saved enough money, they'll want to head back over to our Sandpoint Furniture showroom to take a closer look at all the beautiful displays there. So whether you're a builder or a homeowner, you owe it to yourself to come check us out at the Ponderay Design Center. That's the only place you need to go.
The success you've already had matters at University of Maryland Global Campus, because we're a school for real life. An accredited state university, UMGC lets you earn up to 90 credits toward a bachelor's for prior learning, life, and work experience, or transfer up to 12 credits toward a master's. We offer affordable tuition and online and hybrid courses. No application fee if you apply by May 30th. Learn more at umgc.edu. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
There are low prices, and then there are Kohl's lowest prices of the season. I got myself a comfy tee for just $4.99 and a stylish dress for 50% off. Then I found my husband a pair of shorts for under $17. Plus, I earned Kohl's cash. Yup, it doesn't get better than Kohl's lowest prices of the season. So go check them out before it's too late. Select styles, some exclusions apply. Offers end May 18th. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! need parts? We got parts. Product availability? Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. Get one free set of brake pads when you buy two brake rotors. Upgrade to Brake Best Select brake pads for $10 more, or upgrade to Brake Best Select Pro or Import Direct pads for just $20. Offer in-store only. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts. News Talk 97.1.
Hey everybody, hi, welcome back in. We're talking today with Mayor Jeremy Grimm. He has been talking, I hope that you've heard it, about wastewater treatment and potable water. And so now I want to change the topic to this headline and an article that I saw about Sandpoint Council has voted to shrink your area of impact by 70%, but this was because of state law kind of encouraged you all to do this. So explain to our audience what you've done and why that action was taken.
Sure. So if you're not familiar, there's something that used to be called the area of city impact. And this was an area in state code that allowed us to identify it with a line and say, you know, it's going to spread out maybe 3-4 miles. And that when development occurs in that area, it's not in the city limits, it's county controlled land use, that the county would notify the city that, say, for example, a subdivision's going in. And then we had the opportunity in a certain amount of time to respond back with comments on that subdivision. And those comments might be something like, well, we envision a path out there someday. Make sure you preserve an easement for a path. Or if it ever comes into the city, our road standard is 50-foot wide right-of-way. Or we're going to need a sewer line easement out there. So last year, the legislature changed that. It's now called Area of Impact. They've taken city out of it, and they've limited it to 2 miles outside the city limits and areas that we believe are going to be likely for annexation in the next 5 years. So it's really a mechanism for the county to hear from the city very formally of what our plans are for this area. If we have parks planned or roads or pathways or utilities, so they can hopefully incorporate some of those desires of the city as they're approving development outside the city limits.
So why did the state do this? Were these county commissioners and county entities that were lobbying the state of Idaho to change this, or how did this happen?
You know, I presume so. We haven't had many issues up here, except back in, I believe it was 2006-07, when the big, you know, discussion about whose area of city impact is whose. Keep in mind, we have 3 or 4 cities here. So, you know, these areas of city impact just kind of spread out, and it was a negotiation.
So this isn't just Sandpoint. Ponderay also had.
Yeah, every city has one.
Everyone's got, had, past tense, kind mm-hmm. of an expanded. Now it's been brought back under control.
I believe July this year you have to have it shrunken. Okay. But in other areas of the state, to answer your question, it sounded like there's a lot of disagreement over, is it going to be Boise's or, you know, another adjacent town, you know, whose area is it? Who's going to get to control?
An overlapping.
Yeah, kind of a turf war, so to speak. So it's my understanding that that's what this evolved out of. And it was a way to kind of stop the infighting and say, let's pull it back. You can't just extend your area of city impact 20 miles because you want to grow that direction. Because for many cities, because of the structure of taxes and valuation, the only way you can really grow your budget is by having new growth and expanding your city. So in Sandpoint, it's not really too much of a concern because we don't really have aspirations to annex or grow the city. At least I don't. The current council doesn't. You know, taking on new areas to be incorporated into the city means more roads maintenance, more parks, more police, more fire, all the traditional things that cities do. So,
not to mention your top two things, water and sewer. Wastewater treatment.
Right.
Why would we annex anybody else to deburden that system that's on its last leg?
And if you study it, it's actually a losing proposition. You know, it's a dirty secret that not a lot of people know, but residential development actually doesn't cover its cost. When you add up the taxes and the services that are demanded from residential development, until you get to in excess of 6 acres six dwelling units per acre, you need a fair amount of density to make it break even. So annexing and taking in low density, and I'm calling low density something less than 6 acres, six dwelling units per acre, is actually a money losing proposition for communities.
So if it's zoned for what, residential, mm-hmm. that would pay for itself. But if, of course, that's the only zoning we have in Sam. We don't have rural zoning, do we?
We have a couple different residential zoning districts. We have a residential single family, which allows 5,000 square foot lots, about six or so dwelling
units. Does that
units.
Pay for itself?
Barely. Not until
who's,
you actually
who's get... making up the difference?
Oh, that's a great question. So our industrial and commercial properties make up the difference.
Right.
If you're interested in this, look up on Google cost of service studies. And American Farmland Trust has done these all over the country. They did one in Kootenai County with U of I. And that showed that the industrial and commercial properties are actually paying more in taxes than they use for services versus the residential that use more in services than they pay in taxes. And if you think about it, you know, an industrial property, maybe you get a skunk out there every now and then, but they're pretty low maintenance.
Yeah.
You know, they don't need a lot. Versus the residential, you get your plowing and your fire and your police and your
and
everything
middle
else.
Of the night, yeah, whatever ambulance runs.
So our commercial zone properties and our industrial zone properties carry the burden. If they disappeared, residential taxes would go up significantly. Or if they went down in value, residential taxes would go up significantly.
So encouraging businesses, especially I'm thinking again of our downtown corridor, and giving them some incentives for parking is not going to like totally turn them off. In addition to creating walking zones, it creates zones.
It is. People are going to maybe
win-win.
Latch on to this because think of a parking lot. A valuation, if you look at the assessor's valuation, $200,000, a building's going to valuation of $2 million. So that, you know, you apply the mill levy or the levy to that value. So a valuable downtown helps reduce the tax burden on our residentials.
Yeah, I think that's a winning argument that's understandable and not offensive. I mean, it's just the way the numbers line up and why that is true and a good thing. Of course, everything in balance, of course, but yeah, it's just makes me more understanding this whole concept of keeping the whole downtown, not just the corridor, but what do you call that, expanded downtown area, a lot more walking, and don't go for the super parking structures.
Right.
There.
No, they're not very valuable.
They're not valuable, and they are ugly. That too. All right. So I want to get to a last question. You're going to have like a minute for this or a minute and a half. And that is the trend line. I was listening to a program from a local realtor that was saying people used to buy property sight unseen. That trend, that is over. And the actual trend line for people moving in and buying in the Sandpoint area or Bonner County, let's say, is down.
Yeah. It doesn't surprise me. I can speak just anecdotally at the city. Mm-hmm. It's a market, right? A market has buyers and sellers. And what we're seeing today post-COVID is a market where a lot of developers came in, built a lot of product. I just added up the numbers. There's about 1,000 potential units that could be built in Sandpoint that are permitted right now. They haven't all broken ground. Some of them you can see.
How many empty units do we have already built?
Right. This is a great question. I heard from one.
1,300 or something like that?
We have about a 20% vacancy or second homeowner rate. But we heard one property manager who said there are 15% vacant in their multifamily units this month. So, but we're seeing a slowdown in building permits. I think there's a lot of trepidation, a lot of uncertainty from the federal level, from tariffs to interest rates, that's affecting people. So I think it's kind of a pause right now and wait and see where we're all going.
All right. So the trend, I didn't mean to totally cut you off, but the trend line is staying the same or is it going down, did I hear?
The actual buildings going vertical is down right now.
What can the city do to fill, or what should the city not do to try to fill these empty vacant condos and apartments and homes that are not filled, and so they're not paying their $100 a month?
Yeah. Honestly, I think the best path forward is one of my third objectives, which is economic development, bringing in more year-round, stable, good employers here, like Timberline Helicopters, that's going to be adding 20 jobs, a distribution company that some of Amazon on Great Northern, that's going to be adding dozens of jobs year-round with benefits. So I think we need to add good jobs. We don't want people moving here without jobs, because
exactly.
That causes problems.
Exactly. And we want those businesses in because they help pay taxes. Mayor Jeremy Grimm, it is always instructive to have you here. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your effort for you and your team.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure. Anytime, if you're out there in Radio Land and you have questions, please reach out.
All right. Don't forget, we're honoring all veterans next week. Tom Linley, Bonner County Veterans Services, Special Forces Medic Ken Hunt will be here to help us celebrate. Until then, this is Barbara saying God bless you.